Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Bye. Amen. It's good to have Brother Ken back with us. Good morning. Welcome to the Main Street Church of Christ. It's so good to see each and every one of you with us this morning. We've had a really good past week. We had the Concord Nursing College that was here every single day last week, and they did a lot of really neat things for us, and that was really special. And so we expect possibly to have them back with us this following week. And also we're going to have the Grapevine Church of Christ youth group come and help us. And so I was very thankful for all the help, and it's fun to have the volunteers here as we continue to serve and feed the homeless and continue this great work and ministry that God has put into our hands. And so if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 5. And also we have Brother Crafts here with us, and him and his wife, they're expecting a baby daughter this week. And so keep their family in your prayers, and we're very excited for them. This is just a really special time for them. Would you please join me as we approach the Lord in prayer? Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We trust in your sacrifice. We trust in the way that you have opened wide, that we might approach you boldly, Father, confessing our sins and our need and our brokenness, appealing, Father, for mercy and grace from the throne. Father, that you would forgive us and that you would look down and give us strength and the ability to be your church, to be your body, to be your instruments in this crucial and difficult time that we live in. And so, Father, we call upon your name. We ask for encouragement and strength for this congregation. Help us, Father, as we preach the gospel, as we help the poor, those who are so needy. And I pray, Father, your special favor and presence to be with us this morning as we study your word and we worship you together. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "I tell you the truth, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And so the first thing that we notice here about this centurion is that he's from Capernaum. And so this is a town that is located on the Sea of Galilee, on the northern tip of this sea, and it is located in the southern region of Galilee. And we have several mentions in the Bible of Capernaum, and this is the location of much of Jesus's ministry, where much of his healing takes place. This would be referred to as his home. But we also read that those who lived in Judea, those who lived in Jerusalem, had contempt for people who lived in the north and thought them to be sort of backwards and to be less dignified. And we have several references to that. For one, they had a distinctive dialect that did not sound as eloquent as those who lived in the south. And so the first thing that we see is this man is not exactly from the right place. If you're going to look for someone who's going to be an example of faith, you probably wouldn't be looking in this location. You probably wouldn't be looking in Capernaum. And so the second point that we notice here is he is a centurion. And this simply points to the fact that he is a commander in the Roman army. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. So not only is he from the wrong place, but he's from the wrong people group according to this time. He is outside of the promises of Abraham. And if you're going to look for a man who would be a model of faith, would it not be appropriate to look for someone from the lineage and a descendant of Abraham, who is a Jew? And so we see the activity which he's engaged in, and this is very important. He is appealing to Jesus on behalf of his servant, whom he loved dearly. And so this, I believe, is one of the greatest acts of love that we can do for someone that we love, to approach the God of the universe, to approach the throne of God on behalf of one of our friends. We all maybe can use our imagination and think about if we had a spare chunk of change, if we had $1 million, and how fun it would be to give one of our family members a check for $1 million. How amazing and how incredible that would be, or to give a new car to someone that we love. But how much greater, it simply does not compare to the greatness of blessing someone spiritually, of imparting this spiritual blessing on behalf of our family or someone that we dearly love. And so this is a great example for us, and to approach God with confidence and faith. And I love the example of Jacob in Genesis 27:33. He says, "I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed." Right? There's an example of faith. He knows that God is going to honor this blessing and this prayer. And so Matthew tells us of this servant that he was suffering terribly. Luke helps us to understand the situation a little bit more, and he adds that this servant, he was at the point of death. And so we continue in verse 7. "And he said to him," this is Jesus speaking, "I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed.'" So not only does this centurion have a heightened sense of awareness of the identity of Jesus, his authority and his power, but he also has a self-awareness to understand the corruption and unworthiness of his own heart. Look at verse 9. He says, "For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And so this man understands both authority as a military man, as well as Jesus' position and his supremacy over all creation. We look now at verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I say to you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." And so men get excited about a lot of different things. There's a lot of things that catch our eyes according to the flesh. But notice here, this is something which catches the eye of God, and we as Christians, we want to know what God pays attention to and how he can single this man out from everyone living at this time period and everyone among those in Israel and say, "Here is a model. This person has more faith than anyone, even with those that I have found in Israel." And so the Bible tells us that what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. And so we value certain characteristics, but God is valuing this man, this centurion. And so let's talk here a little bit deeper about what made this man so incredible. And so the Bible teaches here clearly that there are degrees of faith. There are some people in this world who have more faith than others. And I don't point this out to suggest that there is secret, unattainable knowledge which is outside of the reach of the ordinary Christian, but this story is given for the opposite. It's given for our encouragement in order that we might seek to view Jesus Christ, our God, in the same way that he should be viewed, in the same way that this centurion views him, and that we might seek to increase our faith and it might grow more and more. And so we also understand that there were many in the days of Elijah, Jesus tells us, who had leprosy. And we reflect on the awesome fact that only one man was healed, Naaman the Syrian. And so here we have someone who has this unique, exclusive honor in the same way this man was distinguished in his generation of having more trust and more faith than anyone else in his time. And we want to grow and develop into those people of trust and faith and to be pleasing in God's sight. And so on that occasion, the Jews were enraged. And in every way, this story is meant to be a rebuke upon the people of Israel, to be a rebuke upon those who are descendants according to the flesh. And if we're not careful, this same thing can happen to us if we become narrow-minded, if we become stubborn like these Jews. And so let me give you this story. I think this helps to illustrate. Let's say I had the opportunity to talk to Michael Jordan in the height of his career. And in my ignorance, I went up to him and I asked him if he wanted to play a game of basketball. And I said, how about we start off easy? How about we lower the goal to about 8 feet? And how about we start off with a junior basketball because it will be much easier to play? And right, how foolish and how ignorant and how insulting would this be to the single greatest basketball player on the planet? And so not only would I insult him, not only would I display my ignorance, but I would be greatly embarrassed due to this blunder and this error. And this is the same thing that we do to God. Many times we limit him. We don't understand who he is. We're lacking in the knowledge of God. We don't know who we're dealing with, and we limit him and we lower the standards. But in this story, we see someone who, with illuminated, opened eyes, sees God for who he is and sees in actuality. And this is where we are to be. And so the great object of Scripture is to reveal the character and the person of God, that we might know his power, that we might know who he is through history and how he intends to act on our behalf. And so we can pray along with the psalmist in Psalm 44 the following: O God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. And then in Psalm 66, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. He passed through the river on foot. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch over the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt in him. And so the proper interpretation of these Psalms and the way that we're to view Scripture, the sentiment, the longing of the inspired writer, is not simply retrospective. They're not simply looking and admiring something God has done in the past and saying, that was great for our fathers what you have done, but the expectation and the sense of these scriptures is that God might do the very same incredible, indescribable works for them in their lifetime. And so this is the way we're to view God as he reveals himself in Scripture. The Lord never quits being faithful from generation to generation. We don't read that the Lord was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and then went on vacation when it came to Joseph or his descendants. But we read that God continues to be faithful to all people at all times. He is just as faithful today as he was in the times of Scripture. He is the same everlasting God. And if you were to ask me what my favorite Bible verse was, I would have to point to Hebrews 13, verse 8, which reveals this truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we look around, and everything that we know, it withers and it decays, and there's a beginning and there's an end. This is not the way it is with our God. He is the same today as he was thousands of years ago, and he interacts the exact same way with us today, and he has power and blessing that is free to our disposal. And so just as a man thousands of years ago trusted the Lord as he tended his father's sheep, he relied on him to help him to defeat the wild beast and protect the sheep. In the same way, we can walk with our God day to day and trust him and to believe him, and we can sense his ever-present grace with us and know his power. And I want to stress this point. Sometimes it takes time to get to know someone. You can't get to know someone by meeting them just once. And this is why we don't hear about people who go on a date and propose on the very first date, right? This would be absolutely absurd. And the reason is there's absolutely no way to know someone after having one encounter with them. And so it takes time, spending time with the Lord, to get to really know who he is. And we even have examples of the disciples who spent long hours, long periods of time with Jesus, but their ears were still shut. Their eyes were still closed. Their hearts were still dull. And they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't understand that he was the God who even commands the winds and the waves, and they obey him. And so we're required as Christians to spend time with the Lord. It takes time to know him. It takes closeness of proximity. It takes Bible study as well as experience. We have to experience the deliverance and the grace of God. I think about one of our most cherished stories here at the Main Street Church of Christ. I think about when Brother Kelly first was called by God to the ministry at this church, when we were under lawsuit and we were dealing with great corruption, and there was a great need for funds to fight these different legal battles. And a man walked in with overalls and counted out $10,000 in $100 bills. And so here we have an example of experiencing the power of God. God wants to reveal himself as faithful. And aren't you glad that we don't rely on the Pope? That might have taken some convincing to get $10,000 to come from Rome. And aren't you glad that we have Jesus Christ as head of the church, and he is entirely faithful. And so stories such as this have created a culture of expectation, right? We expect God to intervene. We expect him to bless us. We expect, and we have a culture of dependence on the living God. And he's taught us not to trust in men, for the help of men is worthless, but we trust in a faithful God who wants us to be in really difficult situations in order that he might reveal himself, in order that he might save us, in order that he might get us out of that sticky situation, in order that we might know without a doubt only the finger of God, only the hand of God. And there's many, many stories that we're blessed to have here at this church and the legacy that we have due to faithful men who have gone before. And so the Lord, he wants to deliver us. He wants to reveal his works. Can you imagine being Moses and seeing the power of God being displayed in front of you? The Lord wants to demonstrate his power. And when I think of demonstration, it's kind of a silly example, but I think about a salesman. He wants to demonstrate his product. He wants everyone to see how this product is superior to every other product, and he wants to put this out in front of the public in order that they might purchase it. And this is what God wants to do through us and through our lives. He wants to demonstrate his power, his deliverance, his grace, a public showing of his glory. He wants our life to be a spectacle that people might look at us, that they might see us, and they might see the grace of God living in our life. He wants people to be able to see the fruits of the Spirit in order that people might pull some of that fruit and taste and see that the Lord is good, in order that he might make a name for himself, in order that he might be the famous God. And so that is why it is so very important that we commit ourselves to the study of God's Word, such as the behavior that we read about in the first Psalm in 119. This devotion, this longing after the Word of God, that we might understand the attributes, the character of this great God. And so being a Christian is so much more. It goes so much further than just understanding the particulars of ancient grammar or knowing an assortment of facts and people and dates. But Scripture is given to us. God has revealed himself that we might know a person, that we might know God, that we might understand who he is and his attitude towards us. And so we look at verse 11 now. Jesus says, "I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so the warning is very clear to the Jews to not take their salvation for granted just because they're children of Abraham. But here we have an outsider. Here we have a Gentile who is practicing pure religion from the heart. And here's a man that has faith, and this is something that God marvels in, and he still marvels in this same type of pure religion today. Verse 13, "And to the centurion Jesus said, 'Go, let it be done for you as you have believed.' And the servant was healed at that very moment." And in the preceding chapter, we read a similar line, "According to your faith, be it done for you." And so the meaning here is clear that according to the faith that you have, we can expect this type of miracle. And these types of scriptures, in some ways, to us might seem a little bit scary based on a lot of false teaching. And we are very reactionary when we listen to the claim it and name it prosperity word of faith theology. And we see people on TV saying, if you believe God, he's going to give you that Mercedes. If you believe God, he's going to give you that car and all these crazy things that are not promised in Scripture. But we cannot let these false prophets steal our heritage. According to Scripture, one of the greatest hindrances to an answered prayer, to a blessed life, is absence of faith. And so clearly here we are called to understand God as supreme, and to understand His authority and to visualize and to picture Jesus Christ as being supreme over the problems that we have. Can you picture in your mind? Can you allow the Lord to enlarge your thinking? Can you see Jesus Christ enthroned, sovereign over the nations, as master over anxiety? Can you see Him as master and having authority over Satan and temptation and all the problems that so plague the children of men? Can you see Jesus Christ as having authority and power over grief and heartache? Can you see Jesus Christ as having authority over sin? And can you see yourself calling upon His name in faith and knowing with certainty and assurance that He hears those who diligently seek Him and call upon His name in faith and know that He will respond and He will bless and He will heal and He is sovereign over our fallen state and salvation? And we are grateful, so grateful for this powerful God. And notice again here that this centurion is not about who he is. He's not from the right place. He's not from the right people group. But notice here, he believes in the right God, and this is true of us. We may not have the most pleasing characteristics in the eyes of men, but if we put our faith in the right God, we know that He hears and He will reward this seeking. And so this morning's teaching is building upon the foundation of the previous story that is teaching God's willingness. And so this morning we're stressing God's ability to carry out this desire to heal. And so we have this question that's put before us this morning. Do you need healing? Do you need Jesus in your life? Do you need a God of authority who can act on our behalf and do mighty things in our lives, in our church, in the time that He has placed us? And so the primary purpose of Jesus' physical healings in the New Testament is to point to spiritual healings, of which we have ample promises that God can completely heal and save our souls and give us peace within our heart and bring full salvation to us. We are not promised a comfortable life. We are not promised all these different things that the prosperity preachers claim that are offered in Scripture, but we are promised purification of sins. We are promised that God will come and live within our hearts, that rivers of living water might flow within our hearts, that He might save us completely, that He might set us free. And these are ours if we come to Him in faith. And here is one such promise that I would appeal to you to consider. Acts 2:38. Brothers, what shall we do? Those who heard Peter's first gospel sermon, pointing to the death, the burial, and the resurrection, which Jesus did on our behalf, they respond and ask, how do we respond to this great message? In verse 38, Peter says the following, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And so I hope that you will consider this morning. If you are a Christian who feels like you don't know God like you need to, this is also an invitation to approach God, to appeal that He would increase our faith and help us to walk closer to Him. And I hope that you'll consider these things as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Thank you. Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. For the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.